This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall. You know, a study of spiritual warfare has so often been neglected by the church. And because of that, we have many, many questions concerning such a study of eternal matters. Today, we're going to discuss many of those kinds of questions. Now, I submit to you, when I wrote the book on spiritual warfare, I had many questions. I still do. They continue to come because this whole study is so important and significant to our walk with God. But I have anticipated some of your questions. I'm assuming you might have the same questions that I did. And so today we're going to discuss many of those questions that so many have concerning spiritual warfare. If your questions are not dealt with today, let me encourage you to contact us at our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Follow the question prompts, and we'll be looking for your questions that we can address in a future broadcast on the Invisible War. Listen carefully now as we study the Word of God together. You know, Jesus told us, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So for the sake of the study of the Word of God, and the search for the truth of the living God, let's study together as we deal with so many questions concerning spiritual warfare. The first question, is there not a danger of becoming too preoccupied with demons? The answer is, of course there is. This is not a practice for the curious. Curiosity can get somebody hurt in the invisible war. Dealing with demons in the flesh can get somebody killed. However, it is just as imbalanced to ignore the reality of demons and their work as it is to go looking for them. Looking for demons under every pew and under every bush is ridiculous. That's absurd, folks. But when you are faced with them and their subsequent work, it is spiritually irresponsible to ignore it. The Lord has given you the authority over these matters in Him, and to run from it is spiritually irresponsible. Next question. Why do we have to get involved in deliverance? Can't the Lord take care of these matters without us? Now, these were questions I had, okay, when I first started this. I'm anticipating others when I wrote this, because these were my questions. Can't the Lord handle this without us? Of course He can. It's His power. But, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, we are workers together with Him. What I've come to believe, folks, is that God does everything He does today in the world through His church. People are not saved outside of His church. That's kind of sad, isn't it? People are not healed outside of His church. We are His body. He is the head. People are not delivered outside of His church. It is through the prayer of His saints. It is through the work of His church that His work is done. We are in the church age. That's the way God has chosen to do it today. As an evangelist, it is the work through that office, through those gifts that God has given, that the Holy Spirit uses within the church that enables the church to do its work in the world. On and on I can go. But we are workers together with Him. Church, it's time for us to wake up. We got work to do. It's His work. It's His power. Next question. What about the use of anointing oil in deliverance? Is it necessary when you deliver something or anoint something? Don't you need oil? The oil, of course, comes into play when we talk about healing. In James chapter 5, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, you know, shall heal the sick, and so forth and so on. And it talks about anointing with oil, okay?
Now, whenever you get involved in the anointing of oil, you must make sure you know what you're saying by that. What does that oil represent to you? Does that oil have some supernatural quality? If it does, it's occultish and should be avoided. But if that oil is a helping symbol representing the presence of the Holy Spirit, like baptism. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's a helping symbol. Then the oil is okay. Okay? So it depends on, again, what you think of the oil and how you use it. The next question, what is the gift of discernment? Does a Christian have to have this special giftedness to be able to do deliverance? Every person has the gift of discernment. Every believer has the gift of discernment. Let me tell you what I believe the discernment is. It's simply the ability to listen to the Lord when He speaks. Now, let me tell you this, what I've learned. You'll have it when you need it. You don't need it, don't worry about it. But when you're in a setting and the Lord needs to tell you where to go and how to pray and what to do, He'll tell you exactly what's going on. You have it as you need it. He supplies it as we need it. But discernment is simply the ability to hear from God. Well, do we all have that ability? Yes, we do. Are we all good at it? No, we're not. I'm getting better at it. But I will tell you, you've got to learn to listen to God if you involve yourself in deliverance. Because it's Him. You have to go where He tells you to go. You have to not go where He tells you not to go. This is of Him. You have to learn to listen to Him. You say, how do you know it's God that's speaking to you? All these other voices. Well, as you know, I pray every time before we start, I take authority over every hindering and blocking and lying spirit. Okay? I take charge of that first. That way I know that the next voice I hear is going to be the Lord. Because all the others are gone. It's that simple. And so you've got to take authority over all this other stuff. Next question. How can we know for sure that somebody has a demon? And the answer is God is the one who reveals the truth concerning the invisible war. He is the one who tells you if someone has a demon. Don't sit there and try to figure it out. Let the Lord show you. This is His war. This is about His glory. This is His power. This is about Him, all right? Let me also say to you that the works of the flesh are manifest. A fresh spring cannot give off bitter water. Wherever there's a rotten fruit, I've learned there's a rotten root. And so if there's something in a child's life that's stealing from them, killing them, and destroying them, I know the enemy's at work. Some things are just obvious. The Lord will show you what's going on if you ask Him. You have not because you ask not. Do we actually take authority over evil spirits and deliverance? The concept of taking authority must be carefully understood. You and I do not have any authority over evil spirits, and they will test to see whether or not you understand your authority. Don't kid yourself. They've been at this for a long time. They know what they can do and what they can't do. They're just checking to see what you know. Okay? Our authority is in Christ and in Him alone. Because of their greater authority and power, again, the whole issue of taking authority, it is in Christ who takes authority over evil spirits, not us. It is in our union with Him where the authority lies. Next question. Do you believe in territorial spirits? Are there super demons that are assigned to geographical locations such as churches, cities, and the like? The answer is yes. I do believe even the word principality implies that there are these super demons. Because of their greater power and authority, territorial spirits and principalities must be approached with extreme caution. I do not believe it is appropriate for the believer to go up against these powerful spirits unless God tells you to. I want to say that again. You start messing around with principalities and powers, some of these territorial spirits, you can get hurt in a hurry. I believe that these demons do exist. I believe that they are assigned to certain institutions. I believe they are assigned to churches. I believe they're assigned to cities. There's much more I can say about that, but let me simply say to you, you never go in the invisible war where the Lord tells you not to go. You've got to ask Him and only go where He tells you to go. Next question, do you believe in prayer walking? The issue of prayer walking is also a matter of confusion today. Any walk of prayer that encourages your faith in the Lord is a good thing. But if what you mean by that is I'm going to walk through the church or I'm going to walk through the city and find out where these territorial spirits are, you better be careful. unless the Lord has directed you to do so specifically, and you have some kind of spiritual authority to do so, you're the pastor of that church, okay? Or you're the mayor of the city. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unless you have some authority to do so, you need to be very cautious and careful about that. Now, prayer walking by in and of itself is not a bad thing, but going up against these principalities, these territorial spirits, can be very, very dangerous. Haughtiness is not a good thing in the invisible war. Pride can get you hurt and killed. And so again, if God tells you to do it, that's fine. But you go in His strength and in His name and under His authority only, or don't go there. All right? Next question. Is it possible to corporately remit the sins of others? Let me just put it this way. You cannot ask forgiveness for the sins of others unless somehow you have been involved in some kind of way in that sin. What good would it do for me to go down Harry Hines and pray against all of these demonic spirits in these peep shows and all this stuff when I've never been involved in that? You see, the demons that have been allowed to come into this city through that kind of activity have a right to be there through those activities. Well, I've been involved in those activities. So it is a dangerous thing to think you can just walk through wherever you want to walk through and remit the sins of others. You can't do it. But if my forefathers, if something has been passed to me and I own it, okay, somehow it is in my life as well, and I've committed those sins, then I can go before the Lord as He would lead me to do so and ask forgiveness, not only for my sin, but asking Him to clean that work up in the lives of those others that have been involved in this as well. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? If we have done it together, church, we can repent of it together. I want to say that again. There are sins in this church that we've committed together. And we can repent of it together. Nehemiah 1, 6 and 7. Next question. What about spiritual mapping? What's this whole issue of spiritual mapping? This is also the concept where you get a map and you find out where the gross sins of the city are, where the witches live, where the fortune tellers open up for business, where the murders have been committed, where the homosexuals hang out, where peep shows are, all of that X-rated stuff, and where the drug dealers are, and you take a map of the city, okay, this is the concept, and you mark every place where these horrible sins have occurred. And you draw a circle around that area and you pray around that city. And the idea is to go up against these territorial spirits. Let me refer you to a book that is gratefully helpful in these matters by Clinton Arnold. The book is entitled Three Crucial Questions About Spiritual Warfare. It is a Baker Book publication. There are three sections of the book, three questions. And the last one is, are we to engage territorial spirits? The professor does a wonderful work in helping dispel the confusion around these matters. Next question. Spiritual warfare seems to me to bring us too close to the occult. Should not a believer avoid such matters? Just because I'm bumping up against the darkness and the occult doesn't mean I'm involved in it. That was the question I had. Because as soon as I got involved, it was dark and dirty and nasty, and it was occultish and occult practices, and I was always taught to run from that stuff. Well, just because I'm praying against it and God's revealing it in somebody's life doesn't mean I'm involved in it, okay? That's the best I can give you on that. Next question. If it works, then it must be of God, right? The end does not justify the means, folks. Demons are so full of tricks and deception that many are named. I've run into demons named false deliverance. They will act like they're being delivered. You will go through a whole deliverance, and this demon has acted it out to cover the real problem. I've run into all kinds. Listen, we cannot believe everything we see, hear, and feel. It is the Word of God that is living and able to discern what is going on in the heart of man. Hebrews 4:12. The so-called end does not justify the means when it comes to deliverance. Next question. Should deliverance be done in public or private? The old adage here, never say never, comes into play. Sometimes folks need deliverance immediately. And to try to bring them to another room doesn't work. But generally speaking, it needs to be done privately. It protects the person from the rumor mill in the church. You've heard of that, haven't you? And again, these matters are very ugly and distorted and dirty and filthy. There's no glory in deliverance. I want to say that. There is no glory in this kind of work. It's filthy. I feel like I'm a trash collector, you know, just carrying junk out. Church generally doesn't need to be exposed to all of that because you never know how mature those believers are in that regard. So I would say most deliverance sessions need to be done in private. Next question. Is it okay to call on the angels to help in deliverance? The issue of angels is also a very touchy issue. Under the authority of Christ, the last verse of Hebrews, first chapter, it tells us that all of the angels, all of them, good and bad, okay, are ministering spirits to those of us who have inherited salvation. Okay? So what's the role of an angel? It's God's role. They're under His authority, not ours. But if the Lord leads you in a prayer time of deliverance to call and ask Him to send His angels, if it is His will, He will send His angels to help. Okay? You don't do it. You ask Him to do it. And He'll do it if needed. All right? Next question. Should not these matters be relegated to the professional counselors? Let me say to you that there are those Christian counselors for whom I have the highest respect in these spiritual matters. We have much to learn from these men and women who have been called of God to do this work. However, I do not believe that man has answers to man's problems. I'm going to say that again. Today's education does not give answers to these issues. Spiritual problems require spiritual answers. I'm reminded of a time at a youth camp where a young girl was highly demonized. Church had a professional counselor out there to work with these kids. And this counselor had all the certifications. She had all the education, all the degrees. And she had to go get counseling after this. It rocked her world. I don't care how much education you have. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is a work of God. So I thank God for those counselors who are willing to commit to this work under the authority of Christ. And the next question, is it important to stay within your relegated ministry or authority when facing the forces of darkness? The issue of authority must be understood. If you don't have the authority to go there, don't go there. For instance, let me illustrate this. I'm not on the staff of this church. I do not have the authority except under this umbrella. I cannot do it outside of the authority of the church. I understand that. And so, you can't either. I just want you to understand that. This is His power in His church. If you invite me to come to your home and you have the authority over your home, I can do it. But in terms of the church, I have to have the authority to pray with folks. And that's not a matter of just being nice and pecking order. It's about demons know whether or not you have the authority to deal with this or not. They know it. It's a waste of time if you don't have the authority. Okay? Next question. In Jude chapter 9, why did Satan feel he had a claim on Moses' body? We can only speculate. But my thinking is, if Satan could have gotten Moses' body, guess what the church would have done? Guess what the people of God would have done all these years? I've been to the places where the fingers or the toes or the bones of these saints are, and they're worshipped. Can you imagine what we'd do with Moses' body? And the Lord God Himself is to be worshipped, not some dead body. So Satan would have exploited the body of Moses. That's my opinion on that. Next question. Can children who make animal sounds have demons? Or should we just believe it will stop as the child grows? Well, you may need to talk to me about what kind of sounds those are. If it brings the hair on your back, if it scares you, if there's something really unnatural about it, then you might need to be concerned. Question, how do we know when a demon is speaking or communicating and not just a regular person who's deeply troubled? Once again, it's the Lord that tells you. He's the one that will reveal these matters to you as you listen to Him. I want to deal with one more, and that is the question, why is it that Baptists have not faced the issue of deliverance? As most of you know, my family has been serving Southern Baptist churches in the ministry of evangelism for over 100 years. My father and both my grandfathers were Southern Baptist preachers. First of all, let me say that since Baptists are a congregational people in terms of their polity, no one can speak for all Baptists. To attempt to do so would be foolish at best. You've heard the old saying, when you've got two Baptists, you've got three opinions. Baptists do and have faced the issue of deliverance. Talk to our thousands of missionaries around the world concerning these matters. Most of our pastors have their demon stories from their ministry encounters. I've heard many of them throughout the years as they have come up in our conversations. If you get the preachers together and they feel safe in talking about these matters, all of us seem to have these encounters with the darkness. I do believe that because our educational institutions have been preoccupied with the matter of politics, that is, the raising of money, as well as the pressure to comply with the accrediting boards, these matters of dealing with spiritual warfare have been on the back burner instead of the forefront of the curriculum. However, let me state that in most of our seminaries, such a course has existed. At my seminary, these matters were taught for many years in a course called Spiritual Foundation for Missions. Just because we have not gone public with these matters, one cannot preclude that Baptists don't believe and practice deliverance. As I have stated in this book, I do believe that since so many of our children are now in spiritual bondage and spiritual jeopardy, we as Baptists can no longer ignore getting them help. Because of the great spiritual needs of this generation, our institutions must begin to teach our leaders, our future leaders, how to be used of God to set the captives free. It is necessary as we get closer and closer to the Lord's coming. The devil knows he hath but a short time. I believe that if the church ignores the matters of engaging the powers of darkness, she will do so only at her own peril. The enemy is so pouring out strategies upon this next generation of leaders, these young people who are now beginning to have their children, that I believe the church can no longer ignore these matters. So may we all pray that God will lead His church in these days and that the church will follow Him as we walk in the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus.
Well, our time has run out today, and there are many more questions we'll be dealing with in future broadcasts. Next week, we will continue a time of questions and answers concerning spiritual warfare. But I want to encourage you, contact us today. If you have had a question and you've not heard your question answered on the broadcast, we'd like to have your questions. Would you contact us at theinvisiblewar.org? That's theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can call us with your questions toll-free 1-877-808-8886. That's toll-free 1-877-808-8886. We look forward to next week's broadcast when we shall study the Word of God together again concerning the eternal matters of God. I want to personally invite you to share with me in a time of Bible study and ministry at the Invisible War Conference. This exciting conference on spiritual warfare will meet on Saturday, February the 28th at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. For conference details and schedule, and to secure your place, visit our website, theinvisiblewar.org. Go to the home page and you'll see the registration prompts from there. Space is limited, so register today. You can also reach us by calling toll-free 1-877-808-8886. That's toll-free 1-877-808-8886. I look forward to meeting and praying with you as we study the Word of God together at the Invisible War Conference. That's Saturday, February the 28th at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. Let's join together as we ask the Lord to do His mighty work among us. Lord, we thank You today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You. You have been faithful to all generations, and we today have found You faithful. Lord, let us be reminded, help us know that when you died on Calvary, no one else needs to shed their blood for sin. Your blood is enough for all sin, for all time. I pray that you would do the greatest work in our lives this day for your greatest glory. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. May God richly bless you in the journey, and thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.